Good morning. Welcome to St. Mark's Lutheran Church. Today is the ninth Sunday after Pentecost, and we get to celebrate some great things today. Today, the theme of our worship is how God's people focus on the last day as they live in this world. And you'll see that reflected throughout the service and all of the hymns, readings, and everything. Today, we will also be celebrating the Lord's Supper. So if you are a member of St. Mark's or of a church within our fellowship, we ask that you prepare yourself to receive the body and blood of the Lord. If you are not a member of St. Mark's or of a church within our fellowship, we ask that you refrain from partaking in the Lord's Supper. And if you have any questions about that, please see me after the service. I'd love to tell you more about it. Today we will begin our worship with hymn number 226. May God bless your worship this morning. Please stand. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
God invites us to come into his presence and worship him with humble and penitent hearts. Therefore, let us acknowledge our sinfulness and ask him to forgive us.
Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil, and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner.
God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given His only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by His authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
For all that we need in life, and for the wisdom to use all your gifts with gratitude and joy, hear our prayer, O Lord. For the steadfast assurance that nothing can separate us from your love, and for the courage to stand firm against the assaults of Satan and every evil, hear our prayer, O Christ. For the well-being of your holy church in all the world, and for those who offer here their worship and praise, hear our prayer, O Lord. Merciful God, maker and preserver of life, uphold us by your power and keep us in your tender care.
Amen.
The works of the Lord are great and glorious. His name is worthy of praise. Grant us, Lord, a spirit to think and do what is right, that we who cannot do anything that is good without you may by your help be enabled to live according to your will. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated. The first lesson this morning comes from Joel chapter 3, verses 12 to 16. As you and I, as God's people, look toward the last day, we see that it will be a day of judgment for all of those who are evil. But it will be a very different day for you and me. From Joel chapter 3. Let the nations be roused. Let them advance into the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there I will sit to judge all the nations on every side. Swing the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, trample the grapes, for the winepress is full and the vats overflow. So great is their wickedness. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and moon will be darkened, and the stars no longer shine. The Lord will roar from Zion and thunder from Jerusalem. The earth and the sky will tremble. But the Lord will be a refuge for his people, a stronghold for the people of Israel.
the word of the Lord. We join together in the psalm of the day, Psalm 18. Second lesson comes from 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. Here, Peter reminds us that thanks to Jesus, we are done with sin. And so he encourages us to live that way as we look toward the last day. From 1 Peter 4. Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because he who has suffered in his body is done with sin. As a result, he does not live the rest of his earthly life for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. They think it strange that you do not join them in their reckless, wild living, and they heap abuse on you. But they will have to give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this is the reason the gospel was preached, even to those who are now dead, so that they might be judged according to men in regard to the body, but live according to God in regard to the spirit. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled, so that you can pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. The word of the Lord. The verse of the day comes from Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11. Alleluia. My word will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Alleluia.
Thank you.
please stand in honor of the words of Jesus? The gospel for this morning comes from Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 through 30 and 36 through 43. This will also serve as the sermon text for today. From Matthew chapter 13. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, 'First, collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn.'" Then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." He answered, "The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated for the hymn of the day, "Jesus Christ with Us Abide."
Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. But the children of the kingdom look to their Lord for refuge. Amen. The sermon text for today comes from the gospel lesson, Matthew chapter 13, which you just heard read, so I won't reread it at this time. Let us begin with prayer. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your harvest. Amen. Last week, I brought a couple of garden tools and showed them to you. The fact that I had to look up their names and purposes on Google would probably tell you that I don't know much about garden tools. Well, let me tell you a story that proves that. When I was growing up, during the summertime, my mom would give me a list for the day of chores to do so that I was being a productive person throughout the summer. One morning I woke up and on the list was pull the weeds from the front lawn. I went out and looked, and our front lawn kind of had this steep little slope of just a little hill, but sure enough, there were probably 100 dandelions growing on that front hill, and it looked bad. So that day I went to work. I pulled up every single dandelion, and that field was looking good. The next morning I woke up, and on that list, on that note, what did I see? Pull the weeds from the front lawn. I thought it had to be a mistake. So I called my mom at work, and I said, Mom, I pulled the weeds yesterday. Why are you asking me to do it again? And she goes, because you didn't pull the weeds. I said, yes, I did. My hands are hurting from yesterday. I know that I pulled them up. She goes, Brock, go take a look. I went out and looked, and yep, there were the dandelions. Only it wasn't like 100, it was more like 300 dandelions. I was like, Mom, I don't know what happened. She said, Brock, you have to pull them up from the root. That's how you get rid of a weed. Pull it from the root. Try it again. Maybe you're thinking, that's good advice, Mom. Well done. You know what God would say about that advice? He'd say that's pretty terrible advice. Does that surprise you? I saw a couple brows go like this. Did you think the point of the story was going in a different direction? Last week we talked about how we have to tend our hearts and how we pull the weeds that choke us and choke our faith. The point of this parable today is different. Today we'll see in this parable that the harvest will come and that it's in very capable hands. Another parable, another story about farming, because Jesus knew that that's what the people knew very well. So he begins this parable today like this. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. Now imagine you're a farmer. You go out and you buy some good seed, the best seed. Lawless seed. And you plant it in your field, and it's starting to grow, and it's looking mighty nice until it starts to sprout. That's when your farmhands notice there's a lot of stuff in there that doesn't look like it's from good seed at all. It looks like it's from bad seed. And this is shocking to them because this was supposed to be one of those awesome-looking fields. The ones where you drive down the street and you see all the rows are perfectly in line. And the plants themselves look like something from a Jolly Green Giant commercial. It's supposed to be one of those fields. So the farmhands go to you and they say, hey, thought you planted the good seed. Where'd all this nasty looking stuff come from? But you know exactly where this nasty stuff came from because you say an enemy did this. Dun, dun, dun. So you knew what happened. You knew where that nasty stuff came from. An enemy. Your farmhands hear it, and they go, oh, man, an enemy? That's it. We're going out there, and we're pulling up all of those weeds. We got to get all of that bad stuff away from that good stuff. But here's where your surprise answer comes in. No, because while you are pulling the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn. Well, what in the world does all of this have to do with the kingdom of heaven? Jesus explains later to his disciples, the weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The world takes these words pretty lightly. Don't you do that. Don't take these words lightly. Satan, the devil, is certainly real, and he certainly hates God. And guess what? He hates you, too. See, he knows that he can't do anything against the all-powerful God who created him, whom he tried to rebel against, who sentenced him to hell for eternal punishment. So he comes after us. He tries to turn you and I away from God. He tries to sow his evil in this world. It's just like the Apostle Peter said, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. See, he knows he's going to hell, so he's going to try to drag you down with him. And how does he do that? Well, while he's like a roaring lion when it comes to his ferocity, he's actually very sneaky about his methods. Look at the parable. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. See, the devil creeps around looking for that perfect moment to trap people. He knows how to attack a foundation at its weakest point. He knows how to get after people. And so he does that. He plants his evil around the good. And look again, among the wheat. The devil sows his weeds, his evil, among God's people in this world, even in our churches. Now you hear that and your defenses flare up and you say, oh man, that's it. I have to go out there and get rid of this evil, right, God? You take a look around you in the world and say, oh, that person's a weed. You stay away. Or maybe even you look in church and you think, I know that time that person sinned and it was pretty bad. I'm going to stay away from them. They're probably a weed. You and I sometimes get self-righteous and puff ourselves up and think that we have to go pulling weeds. But what's God's answer? No. Because while you are pulling the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. See, we don't need to go around in this world as the world's self-righteous spiritual police, because God is the judge. He is the one that will do the harvesting. As Jesus says, the Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. God is the one who will give the command to his angels to root up all of the weeds, all of the sons of the evil one, and throw them into hell for all eternity. Not us. Yes, God tells us to stay away from evil influences in this life, but he doesn't tell us to go stamping out evil as God's righteous soldiers. Yes, God gives us church discipline and instructions for carrying it out, but it's always to bring the weeds back to being wheat, not to uproot them. God always knew that it was better to turn weeds into wheat than to uproot them. So you and I have to be careful, because as we're looking out and trying to see all of the evil the devil is sowing around us, we might not pay attention to the evil that he's sowing inside of us. Those temptations wrap themselves around our hearts. They entangle us and snare us, tightening their grip. Maybe even you don't even notice. Or worse yet, maybe you do notice and you don't do anything. Before you know it, you're looking pretty weed-like. If we're not careful, we might look just like something that needs to be plucked and thrown into the fire. You and I can be self-righteous when really, if we look at things correctly, we see that we're no better than anyone around us. So we're ensnared by sin sometimes. We're looking at others instead of looking in the mirror. We have this enemy who is ferocious and yet very intelligent, who's after us trying to turn us away from God. With all of that stacked up against us, what hope do we have? And then we have to sit here in this life and wait until the last day? Really? With all of this evil around us and threatening our hearts inside of us? Why doesn't God just make today the last day? Why doesn't he just reap the wheat and come on, let's go to heaven and be happy already? Well, what if your son or daughter is an unbeliever? Would you be asking God that today be the last day? What if your spouse hasn't been reborn as a child of the kingdom yet? Would you be asking God that he reap his harvest now? What if your brother or sister or someone else you love doesn't know that Jesus is their Savior from sin? Would you be asking God that today be the end of the age? Our good God is delaying the end of the age because he's trying to turn more weeds into wheat. He's still planting. He watches over his field because he is a good farmer. Now, if a farmer goes out and he plants seed and he leaves and comes back not until the harvest, are they going to be a good farmer? No, they'd be a bad farmer. Even a mediocre farmer knows not to do that. But we have a good farmer, the best farmer. And he watches over his wheat. See, he knows what the devil did. If it was up to the devil, we'd all be weeds already. But we're not. We're not sons of the king, not sons of the evil one. We are sons of the kingdom, sons of our Father in heaven. And in order to make us the good seed, sons of the kingdom, God sent a different son. He sent a son of man. Do you know why Jesus called himself the Son of Man? It was from a prophecy in Daniel, and it actually became one of Jesus' favorite names for himself. In Daniel, Daniel's looking at the end of the age, and he has a vision. And he says, "In my vision at night I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed." The Jews knew what Jesus was referencing when he called himself the Son of Man. He was referencing that prophecy. He is the Son of God, and yet he was willing to become the Son of Man, to become one of us. He came to this world and walked around with all of the evil all around him. And he always knew that it was better to plant good seed than it was to uproot them. He's the one that said, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." He's the one that said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." He's the one where when his disciples wanted to call down fire on a Samaritan village, he rebuked them. And when his people, Israel, his own people rejected them, he still said, "How long I have wanted to gather you together as a hen gathers chicks under her wings. But you were not willing. And when he came to this world and faced the evil, he faced it head on for you and me. He defeated the devil. The devil couldn't stand up to Jesus. Stood no chance. And Jesus did that for you and me so that we could be the good seed. He made us the flawless stuff. He gave us his righteousness. And now it's just as he says, the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. We are not sons of the evil one. We are sons of our Father, our heavenly Father. Or should I say our heavenly farmer? We are his sons. And he watches over his field. He'll take care of you throughout this life until the last day. And on that last day, you will shine like the sun, like Jesus says. And lo and behold, Jesus references another prophecy in Daniel. Just a few chapters after the other one, God tells Daniel, at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. You and I have our names written in the book. We don't have to be afraid. God has us in this life. The Lord's harvest will come and we will be wheat. And you and I in this life, as we wait, get to help lead others to righteousness. We help to turn weeds into wheat, that they can shine too. So sorry, Mom. You were wrong. We don't go around uprooting weeds, no. Not in God's kingdom. No, God shows us how he takes care of his field. It's his harvest, and it will come. He will harvest, we will shine, and so will some of those around us who maybe aren't shining just yet. Amen. Please stand. May God strengthen his grace in your heart as you look forward to that last day when he will be your refuge. Amen. We now confess our faith in the Son of Man according to the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated for the offering. Thank you. This morning in our special intercessions, we pray for all of those with health challenges, including Rick Covey, Bev Heinitz, Veda Rosenberger, Ethel Pullman, the sister-in-law of Betty Arnie, Avis Anderson, Eunice McAlpin, Clara Jackson, who is recovering from surgery, and Pam Drennan, who is also recovering from surgery. We also pray for those celebrating anniversaries this week, including Sarah and Rolando Cordova celebrating 16 years of marriage, Mark and Michelle LeMay celebrating 31 years of marriage, Bob and Judy Lawson celebrating 44 years of marriage, and Wayne and Norma Pluckhan celebrating 60 years of marriage. We include a prayer for those celebrating birthdays this week, and we also include a prayer in memory of Wilbur Pullman, the brother of Betty Arnie. Please stay seated for the prayer of the church. We'll say our prayer of the church responsively beginning on page 11. We pray. O Lord our God, you are wise and powerful, good and gracious. Your mercies are new every morning. Each day you open your hand and provide for the needs of your children on earth.
We praise you for every
Strengthen your church and all the world. Let your comforting message of salvation in Christ Jesus be proclaimed to troubled souls everywhere.
Use our ministries and offerings to extend your healing and control.
We bring you our requests for the various structures of our society. Bless our national, state, and local governments.
Grant us civil servants who are worthy.
Grant prosperity to our businesses and industries. Give employers a sense of fairness toward their workers, and employees a feeling of joy and pride in their workmanship.
Help us find satisfaction in all work well done.
Invigorate the schools of our land. Give success to every effort that helps students read, think, and communicate in ways that will promote an informed and responsible citizenry. Arouse curious minds to discover the wonders of your created order.
Give us teachers and students who pursue.
Strengthen the families of our country. Give fathers and mothers a renewed commitment to be good parents. Give children and young people the wisdom to regard their parents as your representatives.
Lead us to love one another as you have loved us.
Father, we praise you for blessing those celebrating birthdays. Give them a rich measure of your Holy Spirit so they can continue to glorify you in this life in word and deed. We ask that you also continue to be with everyone celebrating a wedding anniversary. Point them always to Christ, who is the perfect example of forgiveness and selfless love. Lord, we thank you for blessing the surgeries of those who underwent them these last few weeks. Show the power of your mighty hand and the comfort of your love to those recovering and to those still suffering from illness or injury. Give them the assurance of your grace through Jesus and the strength to withstand their difficulties. Shine your love in the hearts of those who have lost loved ones. Use all of us to encourage them with the hope of eternal life and to impress upon them that they are not alone, but they have you and us to be there for them. Now hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. Gracious Father, we pray boldly as Jesus taught, with the confidence that you will hear and with the faith that you will respond for our welfare.
Amen.
Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now please stand. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them on high.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Praise to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In love, he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. He sends the Holy Spirit to testify that we are his children and to strengthen us when we are weak. Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and thanks and honor and glory forever and ever. Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." The same way, after supper, he took the cup. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Amen. Please stand. Your people, O Lord, that the lips which have praised you here may glorify you in the world, that the eyes which have seen the coming of your Son may long for his coming again, and that all who have received in his true body and blood the pledge of your forgiveness may be restored to live a new and holy life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Brothers and sisters, go in peace. Live in harmony with one another. Serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. You may be seated for our closing hymn, May the Grace of Christ our Savior. An honor to lead you in worship and a pleasure to worship with you this morning. Please stick around for Bible study coming up and as well as Sunday school. Sunday school is at 9:15. Bible study starts at 9:30. A few announcements for you this morning. First of all, the Bible information class has been scheduled to start September 24th. That's Sunday evening at 5 p.m. It will continue on Sunday evenings at 5 p.m. all the way until December 17th, right before Christmas. It's good timing. It's a 12-week course with three different parts. Each part is 4 weeks long, and we're going to talk about how a relationship between us and God was broken, how God restored it, and what it means for us now. There's more information in the weekly update, but please note that there will be childcare, and there's a sign-up sheet. If you could sign up in the church lobby over there so we can get an idea of not only the numbers who are going to be there for copies, but also for the number of children that we'll need to take care of while we learn about God's Word. There's also an LWMS mission box in the church lobby. Today is Mission Box Offering Sunday. The LWMS Mission Offering Box is located on the shelf in the lobby under the LWMS
bulletin board. And please also note for the LWMS that there's a tea and tasty treats announcement in the weekly update. Ladies' Night Out is coming up August 13th, a reminder about that, and there's still time to sign up. So if you are a lady and you would like to join, there's a pretty good list of women who are going. So I think it's $35, and then they can go to the church office and pay that and sign up. But that should be a lot of fun. August 13th. There's also a mom's Bible study that's going to be starting this fall. We want to make you aware of that. It will begin for moms of school-aged children. A sign-up sheet is located right next to the Bible Information Class 1. Anyone interested, please sign up, or if you have any questions, contact Adrian Bengel. That'll begin, I think it was September 10th. Also, the whiteboard is back there for a campus cleanup workday on August 12th. It's a Saturday. It will be from 8 to noon. You can sign up for which tasks you want to do, so if you had an idea of what you want to do ahead of time. I believe, as of right now, I'm the only one trimming the bushes. So if anybody wants to help me out, you already know how I feel about garden tools. No. But if you want to help me out, that'd be great. But there's plenty of room up there if you want to sign up. 8 till noon, August 12th. Other announcements you'll find in the weekly update. May God bless your week as you remember that you are wheat in this world. God has you. Please stick around and talk with one another, and stick around for Bible class too. God bless your week.